see you guys and those of you watching by way of social media. Once again, it's a privilege to come to you with the Word of God. We trust that He will minister to you in the way that you have to have ministry the most this morning. He's good to do that. He knows how to do that. He's intimately acquainted with all of us where we are. Amen. He knows exactly what to say. All we got to do is have ears to hear. He is the best communicator there ever was. Hallelujah. And so I trust that He will do that. When we talk about, let's read that verse again. Genesis 41, verse 49. And Joseph gathered corn. Genesis 41, 49. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. Very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. It was too much to bother numbering. He is the God of abundance and the God of more than enough. Too much God. And so we've talked about that, and then the Lord has led us to all kinds of places with it. But around the theme of seven words that are necessary in order for us to receive everything Jesus died for us to have. He has already done it. Amen. It's up to us to receive. And here they are. If you don't think, so our thinking comes into play. And so much depends on our thinking. It's not the way it is, it's the way you think it is. In reality, because that's going to govern your reaction to the situation. And if you're completely wrong about the way you think it is, your reaction is going to be wrong. So if you don't think that you are entitled, my goodness, you have to think you are entitled to it. Not entitled to have somebody do something for you or anything like that. Entitled to have everything Jesus died for you to have. If you don't think you're entitled to it, the devil is going to find a way to cheat you out of it. Amen. So here you are, 63 years old or something, 45, some people 35, and you come down with something, and the devil said, well, your grandpa only lived to be 30 years, so hey, you live 35 years, that's more than your grandpa. See that? You know what he's doing? He's trying to cheat you out of your full life. And if you think that, I've lived longer than my grandpa, so I guess I'm better off. My goodness. So, you, if you don't think that you are entitled, I come back. See, that word entitled almost has a bad connotation in certain respects, right? When we think we're entitled for people to do things for us. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being entitled to the things Jesus died for you to have. Mm-hmm. He paid the price for you to have it. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you think about it properly, correctly, it's almost an insult for you not to have the mindset of entitlement, because you would be saying He died in vain. He paid that price, might as well not have done it, because, I'll start over again. Each of these words are so huge, okay? So, if you don't think that you're entitled to what Jesus died for you to have, you're not going to expect to have it. Expectation is a big deal. You have to expect it. Are you expecting to live long or not? Are you expecting to be better off 10 years from now or not? You got to expect. That's a part of the realm of faith. That's a part of receiving from God. Expecting to receive. All right. So you're not going to expect to receive it. Therefore, your faith, which is the hand that reaches out and receives from God, is your faith. Your faith is not going to work properly. It has to work so that you can receive that which God has already given. He already has given all. He gave Jesus. When he gave Jesus, he gave it all. Amen. There's nothing that you want or desire that has to be, you know, made available. When God made Jesus available to go down the cross, he made everything. That's why he called it abundant life. It's the abundant life. Amen. And so we begin to talk about how did we get to the point where we are, you know, needing or really wanting to receive, because something really bad happened that messed things up. The curse. Okay? The curse. When man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, they messed things up. We talked about that. They brought in the curse. And the curse came in three principal ways. Spiritual death, sickness and disease, and spiritual death, poverty, sickness and disease. In that order. I told you in that order. Because when man sinned, he was separated. He died spiritually. And spiritually speaking, dying doesn't mean a cessation of life. Doesn't mean you fall down and die. Spiritual death just means separation from God. You're separated from the life of God. Because he is life. So if you're not, don't have a relationship with him, you don't have a relationship with life. Amen? And so when they died, the curse came in. And it came in this principal way: spiritual death, poverty, sickness, and disease. And so when God sent Jesus to go to the cross, he paid to undo all of the things that the curse had done in all three ways. He set the record straight in all three ways. He provided the new birth for us to be reconnected, to come alive again spiritually. To be born again is to reconnect with God. And the new birth, we told you last week, is instantly available. Instantly deliverable when you come and you say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, died for my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. When you do that, you instantly get born again. It's instantly deliverable. But the solution Jesus provided for poverty is not instantly deliverable. Okay? Not only that, but we have hardly talked about it. And we talked about that some last week. When I say how we talked about it, I mean I'm talking about like as a church. Okay. So the death and resurrection of Jesus provided wealth. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 8. Let me remind you. Sometimes people hear this for the first time and they're not sure they heard right. Does the Bible say that? Are you making it up? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I could quote it, but verse 9, for you know, you should know, the grace, the wonderful disposition towards us, of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, that though he was rich, for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus made his wealth available to us. But it's not instantly deliverable. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. We talked about 100-fold last week. Give shall be given to you again. So there's a process involved in receiving the solution to poverty. The new birth, instantly. You come, you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are instantly born again. When it comes to dealing with the curse of poverty, there's a process involved. We talked about that. And then we'll pick up from this. This is what we'll pick up today. And of course, Jesus' death and resurrection also provides divine health. Not just the new birth, not just divine wealth, but also divine health. Okay? But that too is not instantly available. It's not instantly deliverable. There's a process involved in that as well. So look at 2 Kings. Jesus came and fixed it. Glory be to Jesus. He fixed it. We just got to receive it. We just got to receive it. And we'll receive the new birth instantly. Because it is instantly available. Divine wealth, divine health are not instantly available, but can be received. All right, we happen to be talking about divine health right now. So 2 Kings chapter 5, you know this story, the story of the Syrian general who had leprosy and had been told there's a prophet in Israel. If you just go there, he'll be healed. And so, make a long story short, he gets to the presence of the prophet. Well, he goes to the prophet. Prophet tells his servant to go tell him to go deep in the Jordan River. And he didn't want to do it. And so look at verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times. Well, how come he didn't get rid of leprosy the first time he dipped? What about the second time? What about the third time? What about the fourth time? How come he took seven? There's a process involved. In fact, the moment he turned and began to head towards the Jordan River, the process began. Because if you read the story, initially he said, I didn't come all the way from Syria down to go deep in some muddy river. I mean, we have better rivers where I come from. I could have gone over there and dip. I'm not going to do that. And the process hadn't begun. As long as he was going to stand there and argue about it, the process didn't begin at all. Fortunately for him, his servants convinced him. And so he turned and began to head towards the Jordan. When he started heading towards the Jordan, the process began. But they wouldn't have completed until deep number seven. Huh? So divine health, in this case was leprosy, is available, but there's a process involved. The process of faith. Do what God says to do. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Here's another indication of the process that we'll talk about. Jesus has set us free from the curse. In some cases, instantly so. In other cases, we have to work the process. Hallelujah. And work it. And work it. Dip one time. Dip again. Dip again. Dip again. Dip again. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. Verse number 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's a process word. Huh? The sick shall recover. So here's what happens. Too many Christians don't know anything about all this. It's my goodness. It's like you have this roadmap to a treasure chest, and you just don't bother to look up the roadmap and find out where to go. And so here's what happened. Folks say, pray for me, pray for me. We are, and half the time we don't even know what to talk about. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Next time somebody tells you that, stop and ask them for what? You might be surprised at that. Well, the Lord will bless me. No, that won't do any good. He's already blessed you. See that? Would you say some things, not even stop and think about what they mean? We just. And so, it says, they shall recover. That's the process. So someone, so hands are laid on you. That's when the process began. That's dip number one. Huh?
He took Naaman 7 dips.
And so here's a mistake folks make. You get prayed for, and you immediately start checking. See if you got anything.
Well, I guess I didn't, because my arm still hurts.
See, he says recover. Recover. Do you have no promise that when you're prayed for, the illness, the sickness, the pain will immediately go? Sometimes it does, but you have no, there's no, nothing in the Bible says that's what was going to happen. What you have a promise of is recover. Recovery. A process begins, huh? And if you stay with the process, at the end of that, you would have recovered. Bunch of folks to check, oh, well, yeah, I guess Pastor wasn't anointed today. I guess it didn't work. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And guess what? When you do that, you just ended the process. It'll be like Naaman dipped one time, and he dipped the second time. I'm tired of it. Let's go home. He would have gone back a leper. He would have gone back to Syria a leper. And that's what folks do when it comes to healing. No wonder they don't recover. Amen. Sit on my desk yesterday, studying for today. And I just played tennis. And I'm sitting there, and my lower back, sometimes we ignore stuff like that. And I did. I thought, no, I'm busy. And after a while, I'm like, what are you doing? I said, no. And I heard the Lord say, when you finish praying, hit yourself hard. So I went. So you got to obey God. Amen. And guess what? 5 seconds later, the pain came up again. I said, no, I didn't even bother praying. I said, no. I already prayed. It's true. I'm recovering. Glory to God. And guess what? It went. Had to. If it doesn't, this book is a lie. Either this book is true or it's not. We'll go back to thinking again. See that? Thinking. What do you think it is? Is this just some good book, good stories, and you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no, not? Or does it really actually work? Amen. All right, so here's another indication that when it comes to divine health, there's a process involved. The process of recovery. Amen. Amen. Okay, I was going to show you another scripture, but let me just keep you. Okay, look at John chapter 4, Gospel of John chapter 4, and again, you know, God wants abundance in every area of life. That's what Adam and Eve had, but sin messed it up. But God sent Jesus to break the power of the curse. Jesus broke the power of the curse. When it comes to spiritual death, he gave us life. The new birth is instantly available and deliverable. He gave us divine wealth, but it is not instantly deliverable, even though it's available. He also gave us divine wealth, divine health. That's also instantly available, but not instantly deliverable. There's a process involved for the last two. But we'll talk about it. All right? John chapter 4. Look at verse number 52. John 4:52. Jesus has come. Someone came to Jesus and asked a prayer look at verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. See that? Began to amend. That's a process. Began to amend. Too many people end the amending process by opening their mouth and saying, well, I guess I didn't get anything. Huh? When you said that, you stopped it. You pressed the stop button and stopped the tape from playing. However, if you kept saying to yourself, I believe I received my healing.
Amen.
I believe I received my healing. Glory to God. When hands were laid on me, I received my healing. Amen. And that's what you end up with. All right. Now, so Jesus provided the solution to all elements of the curse. I say it again. For spiritual death, he gave us abundant life. We can get born again. For poverty, he gave us wealth. For sickness and disease, he gave us health. Here's the problem. The church has spent 90% of the time talking about only one third of the curse. We have spent 90% of the time talking about the new birth. Have we not? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, we have crusades, we have teams, which is wonderful. Nothing wrong with that per se. Because it is important, and if you have to choose, it is the most important part of it. Booking your ticket to heaven, no doubt about that. The problem, however, is we have given so little time to two-thirds of the curse that it has impacted even the first, even the one we've put a lot of time to. How is that? Well, here's what I mean. We talked about going to heaven, get born again, make heaven, miss hell. But we haven't talked about deliverance from poverty. We haven't talked much about deliverance from hell, from sickness and disease. And so getting born again has become a matter of, okay, that happens later. Well, what about all the decades, the 40 and 60 and 80 and 90 years I'm going to be around here? What am I going to do all that time? Right? And so that has diluted the importance of being born again, because folks have seen that as something that's going to happen later in heaven. And because of that, some folks have not wanted to have anything to do with Christianity. Because it is, you get born again, that's for heaven. Well, what about here now? What about the rotten here now? What about the poverty? What about the sickness and the disease? Jesus covered that too. We just haven't talked about it. We have spent 10%, if that much, talking about two-thirds of the curse. And even, it would be, okay, look at Isaiah. Isaiah 60. Did you know that God blessed Israel partly so as to attract? I've talked about this in the past as financial evangelism. Part of the reason why God wants his people loaded and doing better than anybody else is so that the people will be attracted to it. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The first mention of the word glory in the scriptures has to do with material possession. Very first word, glory. Today, glory is, we talk about glory as if it's this thing, you know, the glory of the Lord. That's a part of it. Okay, since I mentioned that, you should know it, but maybe there are people listening who don't. Genesis 31. Jacob and his uncle Laban. Jacob Jacob starts to get blessed. His crop, his herd starts to increase. And his cousins begin to get upset about it. And here's what they said. And look at verse 1. Genesis 31:1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. That's the first mention of the word glory in the King James Bible. And it had to do with material possession. Amen. It had to do with material possession. God wanted to bless his people. God still does want to bless his people so that the other folks will be attracted. What is the number one thing that almost everybody wants more of? It's money, is it not? Money, 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 money. Huh? That's what it is. Hallelujah. And God knows that. And he set up a system to say, hey, if you come follow me, not only will you have eternal life when you die and go to heaven, but you also have abundant life down here. But the church hasn't reflected that. And therefore, it hasn't been an attraction to the people of God or the people of the world. And we're talking about get born again. Yeah, get born again. Well, what about the right here and now? What am I going to do for the next 60, 70, 80 years? 90, 100? We spend very little time talking about two-thirds of the curse. And most of the time, talk about a third of it. Now, that would be, I didn't finish reading Isaiah. If you keep reading down there, you're going to find that when he says arise and shine, he's talking about material possessions. Now, some people find that hard to deal with, which is part of the problem. Okay? You go down here. Look at verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy arising. It says you arise and they will come because you arose. Okay? If you keep reading, you get to verse number 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. By cross-reference, for the abundance of the sea is the wealth. It's talking about material possession. There. God said, we bless Abraham, make him a blessing. That was part of the dinner bell, the ringing. For folks to say, hey, if you serve God, you know, not only do you get to go to heaven, you live down here in abundant life. Free of poverty, free of sickness and disease. But we haven't talked much about all that. Those two parts. And my point is, it has taken away from the impact of going to heaven. It's a package. We have separated the package. And talk about only one part of it. Now again, like I said, it is the most important part, no doubt. Going to heaven, hey, no doubt about that. But to make that message effective, you also have to talk about two-thirds of the rest of the curse. So folks know, this is not just about going to heaven. It's living life here in this rotten hole, you know, in abundance, without sickness and disease. Now, what makes it worse is the times that we've talked about the two-thirds of the curse, the times that we talked about divine health, divine wealth, is mostly being misinformation or disinformation. You've heard those terms, right? Misinformation is information, incorrect information given because a person didn't know any better. Disinformation is when they know better, but are purposely spreading, you know, information that's not accurate. And the church leaders have said things like, you know, God
The disinformation part is church leaders, denominational leaders, trying to control people, right? And set up their own denomination, this, that, and the other, right? And come up with movements like, I remember like in the, I think it was the late 90s or something. There was this thing about submission. Well, that you couldn't even buy a dress or a suit of clothes unless your pastor agreed. Believe it or not, I'm not making that up. I am not making that up. They took a godly concept of submission took it way out. Couldn't buy a house until the pastor agreed. Pastor thought it was of the Lord. I mean, we're laughing about it, but this is serious. A whole bunch of folks were hurt. See, that's disinformation. I am certain that those church leaders knew better. They wanted to control people. For the most part, it's been misinformation. Huh? Such as, you know, something like, God will meet your needs, but not your wants. That misinformation. Yeah, but then the Bible said the Lord will meet my needs and come to riches in glory. He also said the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See? Jesus said, give, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking over, and running over. What's the running over part? For other people. Yeah. You don't get to that part if you stay on the need part. You got to get to the want, beyond what you want, to be able to bless people. So that's misinformation. You know, give, but don't expect to receive. I mean, how dumb is that? No, don't expect to receive from the person you gave to, but absolutely expect to receive from God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why? So you can have more to help more people. Jesus said so himself. He said, give, it shall be given to you again. Good measure. Well, if it's going to be given to you again and you're not expected to receive, how's that going to work? Absolutely give to receive. Not from the person you gave to, but from God. As it leaves you. That's the plan. That's the plan. So you can be in a position to give to others. So when we've talked about the curse of poverty, we have presented the information. It's really, like I said, misinformation actually. When it comes to healing, folks have said healing has passed with the apostles. We just read that, but we'll look at it again. Marker 16. We just read that. Healing has passed with the apostles. You know, yeah, God can heal if he wants to. But you know, he might not want to. He might want you to die. Isn't that amazing? What family member wants that to be the case? You can make your family member well, but you just want to. It's not your will this time. My goodness. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I've already read it earlier, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say until the apostles pass. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Them that believe shall lay hands on the sick and those who were sick will recover. That's what he said. Misinformation. When it comes to prayer, you know, you pray, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes it says no. Sometimes it says wait a while. The Bible didn't say that at all. People made that up. Look at 1 John. Let me show you what it does say. Just one scripture. That's not our main subject, so I can't go into it in depth, but I do want to show you. Now, if you pray according to God's will, the answer is most definitely yes. The Bible says his word is yes and amen. God has said yes to his will before you take it on. Amen.
First John chapter 5. Look at verse 15. 14. First John 5, 14. This is the confidence. Huh? See that word confidence? Not that maybe so, probably so, perhaps. This is the confidence that we have, the assurance, the surety, the guarantee that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen. There's no maybe so, no probably, no wait a while. Now, it may take a while for you to get the deliverance of it. I mean, when you order something on Amazon, as fast as they are, you know, you don't get it next minute. Amen. Daniel, the Bible tells us, he prayed, God heard it, God sent an angel. And the devil got in the way, and that's what often happens. Devil gets in there with the sea if he can delay this thing so much so that you give up on it and say, oh, well, you know, it works sometimes. See, that's what happens sometimes. People pray, and it took a while to get there, and they give up on it, and then they came up with this rationale. Well, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while. Bible didn't say that. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, healing is His will. Prosperity is His will. Hallelujah. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Misinformation. Here's what's happened. Here's why we've done that. Thank you, Lord. The church has often overemphasized the grace of God. Some people who heard me say that just now are like, what? That's what we've done. We have overemphasized the grace of God. And grossly ignored the subject of faith. Because as long as we talk about the grace of God, it's up to God, right? If I pray and I didn't receive it, it's because God didn't want me to have it. See, I put it off on God. The grace of God. Grace of God. Grace by grace. This is grace, grace, grace. Now, I'm not minimizing the subject of grace. It's a big one. But the grace part is God's part. And guess what? He has already done His part. The reason we haven't emphasized the deliverance from poverty, from sickness and disease, is because we have a lot to do with that, the receiving of it. But see, the new birth, we have emphasized it because, you know, that's God. You come, you believe, you receive Him, and that's it. God did it, that's it. But these other ones involve process. We start on a journey to receive, and we don't quit until manifestation. See, that's on us. And that involves faith. And it involves a fight. The Bible calls it the fight of faith, and we don't want to fight it. We don't want the fight. And so we concentrate on the part that is all up to God. All we got to do is share the gospel. Somebody hears it, and we're done. Right? If they don't believe, we did our part. The rest of it is between them and God. So let's talk a lot about that. Okay? But when it comes to healing, getting delivered from some sickness or disease, I have to pray, believe I receive, and take a stand and not waver. See, that takes spiritual work. And we don't want to do it. Folks don't want to do it. That's why we haven't concentrated on it as much. And so we're talking a lot about grace. By grace, grace this, grace that. And again, I'm not minimizing the grace of God. But remember now, the grace of God is His part. The grace of God is God's desire, God's decision to have an attitude towards you that is who? I mean, how do I put it in words? God wants to treat you as though you are Jesus. Mm. I think that says it all. Mm. That's grace.
Amen.
That's grace. We have overemphasized grace because we're so aware of our shortcomings that we tend to take refuge in grace. Amen. That's what's happened. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. It takes more than the grace of God. Again, that may sound shocking, but it does take more than the grace of God. I said it takes more than the grace of God. And I can prove it to you really, really easily. If it didn't take more than the grace of God, everybody would already be born again. Would it not? I've said it before, but you know, some things you got to say it again and again and again and again before folks get it. They really, really, truly get it. It takes more than the grace of God. It takes more than the grace. Thank God for His grace. But for His grace, we wouldn't even be around long enough to someday decide to get born again, right? Amen. The devil would have wiped some of us off. I think about my life. I had so many accidents in my, you know, chasing girls and all kind of stuff, getting drunk, throwing parties, all that. I had so many accidents. I could have died. This one time, my car came over the edge of this gully, man. One more inch that direction, and I'm toast. Me and my friends and the girls in the car, we would have all been toast. So thank God for the grace of God, but it takes more than the grace of God. I know some people don't want to hear that, but it is Bible. It takes grace and faith. We are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by grace. If that were not the case, everybody would already be born again. The reason why folks are not born again, they have not applied their faith to take advantage of the grace of God. And that is the case in every area of life. And so we have emphasized the part that is all up to God. And de-emphasized the places and the parts that is up to us. Oh yeah, it's up to me if I get born again or not. It's not up to God, it's not up to you, it's up to me. It's up to me if I get healed or not. It's up to me if I prosper or not. It's up to me if I walk in deliverance in all three areas of the curse or not. I got born again, but it's up to me if I walk deliverance from poverty or not. It's up to me if I walk in deliverance from sickness and disease. It's not up to God. His grace is available. His love. In fact, if we talk about the grace of God, we're really talking about an aspect of the love of God. Is what it really is. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son to go to the cross and deliver us from all aspects of the curse. And He's done it. So it's up to us now if we're going to enjoy it or not. And when it comes to the new birth, it's instantaneous. See, instantaneous. There's no process involved, really. You believe, you receive Jesus, and you're born again. You're ready to go to heaven. Yeah, but what about the next 50, 60, 70, 80 years? You have to take the same power of God, the same love of God available, and live above the curse in the area of poverty, and in the area of sickness and disease. And that takes spiritual work. The Bible calls it a fight. And too many folks don't want to get in the ring. Huh? So again, so many Christians get born again, and everything else, you can't tell any difference until Sunday. When they get in their car and drive off to church. Because the fruit comes around, it hits their house just like anybody else. Everything comes around, there's no distinction. In Goshen, this is why we call our church Berea Goshen. In Goshen, there was no sickness, no disease, no darkness, no flies, no frogs. Just God. That's the way it should be with us. Today, 2025. But it takes a fight. Let's get in the ring of faith. There's knowing about faith. But we have emphasized. So it takes grace. But grace is not everything. That's God's part. It's our part. It's our part. Rather than do our part, the devil has convinced too many Christians to think of an emphasis on the word of God. Faith cometh. You're hearing the word and acting on it. So God designed a movement with emphasis on the word. And before you know it, too many Christians began to call folks like us a cult. Oh, and they're blabbing and grabbing cult. They forgot that when it comes to salvation, you still got to grab it and grab it. The Bible says if you don't believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you don't get to get born again. They forgot that applies to being healed. That applies to prosperity. They forgot that it's the same process across the board. Hallelujah. It takes more than grace. It takes more than grace. It takes faith connecting with the grace of God. And that's our part. We are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by grace. Can't say it and leave it like that. We're not saved just by grace. As important as grace is, we're saved by grace through faith. Yeah, but didn't Paul call his gospel the gospel of grace? Yes, he also called it the word of faith. See that, folks? Let me show you scriptures. Look at, let me start from this. Look at, so you got a few minutes. Look at Romans chapter 5. But we are saved by grace through faith is Ephesians 2:8, if you're taking notes. Ephesians 2:8. We're saved by grace, but it's through faith. Without the faith, you're not going to get to the grace. Kind of like saying you can't get from here back home unless you get in your car and turn on the key and drive off. It's just not going to happen. Why is it set up like that? To lock the devil out. That's why. Because the devil believes, but he has no faith. Because he won't act on what he believes. So Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith. Now look at Romans chapter 5. I'm not teaching on faith on grace. This is about, we're talking about the curse, the solution to the three parts of the curse, and how that we have overemphasized one part and left the other two parts. Hardly paid much attention to it. And what little attention we have paid to it has been mostly misinformation. Romans 5. Verse 1. Therefore being justified by faith. See, so we are saved by grace through faith, justified by faith. You can't overemphasize the importance of faith because that's our part. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Christ. And so, see, if you're going to have peace, some people say, well, I want peace. But guess what? You have to exercise faith to enjoy peace. How? You have to believe and act on the fact that God is handling this thing for you. See that? That's how you get peace. Amen. As long as you are churning in your mind and running it up and down and taking it all apart and putting it back together in your mind and saying, what am I going to do about this? What if that and what if this? And Lord, as long as you're doing all that, you're not going to have peace. But if you say, Jesus, I cast this care on you. I thank you for your peace. And act like it, see, through faith, then you enjoy peace. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You see that? We have access by faith into grace. Faith gives us access. Faith gives us access. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is where someone may say, Paul called his gospel the gospel of grace. Yes, he did. But that's not all he called it. That is not all he called it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay? And his grace, which is bestowed upon me, was not in vain, that I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay? Well, here's what he said. Here's something else he said, which gives you better context. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Huh? So when it says over here, I am what I am by grace, he's not discounting faith. Because he already told you, it takes faith to have access to grace. And he makes that plain right here where we are. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Without faith, you will always frustrate the grace of God because you will not be able to receive what grace has given. And any giver is frustrated when their gifts are not received. You know that. I know that. And the same thing with God. God has gifts to give us through his love, through his grace. Without faith, if we don't receive those gifts, we leave him frustrated. Amen. So, it takes more than grace. It does. It takes more than the quarterback to have a reception. I don't know if you heard, but the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year. So, you guys ever heard that? I'm telling you, I've heard from Tampa. But see, we can't concentrate on that. We got, it takes a quarterback, but it also takes receivers to make a reception. It takes grace, takes faith. You get the picture? If we spend 90% of the time talking about the quarterback can throw perfectly, somebody's got to catch it to make a reception. God has made perfect peace, faith, everything available. We got to catch it. So there's no reception. That's exactly what he is. He's done everything perfectly. He needs some receivers, some catchers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So every day is a Super Bowl win. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Rome. Look at Acts 20. Let me show you that again. Those scriptures again. Acts 20. Grace and faith. Again, we're talking about receiving God's provision for the other two parts of the curse. We are born again. Yes. But there's poverty, that's a curse. And there's sickness and disease, that's a curse. God has provided solutions to that too. But that's it. Acts 20. I'm over in 1 Corinthians. Because I'm talking. Book of Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 24. But none of these things move me. See, that's the fight. Huh? That's almost in the fight. He's got all kinds of distractions, all kinds of stuff the devil is trying to throw in his path. But he declares, none of the things move me. I've set my course, and I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going left or right. None of the things move me, neither can I my life dim. If I die believing God, that's the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. See, in Cyprian said, I say, Paul called his gospel the gospel of grace. Well, look at Romans chapter 10. Let me show you where he said he also called his gospel the word of faith. Kind of put the two together. Text more than grace. Grace is God's part. He has done it and done it well. He's the quarterback. He has thrown the ball perfectly. Spiral. He won some receivers. And that's us. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number, let's start from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in that heart, who shall ascend into heaven and bring Christ down? And who shall, in other words, Jesus doesn't have to come back down here again. He's already been here. He doesn't have to go down to hell. He's already been there. He's done it. It's all up to us now, is what he's saying. The rest of it is up to us. Mama has cooked a meal, served it, come, pull up a chair, sit down and eat it. Don't expect her to feed you the food. Unless you're 1 or 2 years old or something. The righteousness which of faith does not say in their heart, oh, I found someone to go to heaven and bring Jesus back here. Doesn't say that. Verse 7, who shall descend to deep? Somebody go to hell from my place. That's already been done. What does he say? Verse 8, but what say he? The word is near you, even in your mouth, all you got to do is speak it. Hallelujah. Amen. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So notice, Paul calls what he preached the word of faith. So yes, he talked about the gospel of grace. Yes, it is the gospel of grace. Of the goodness of God, of the love of God, but it's also the gospel of faith. Put the two together and you've got something. God did his part. Now we've got to do our part. Amen. So here's what we've done. We've told folks, come to Jesus and receive the new birth. Huh? Wonderful. Great. That's what we should do. But then, here's what we've told them. Go to your banker for divine wealth. Huh? Go get a job or go to the bank of divine wealth. Yeah, those things may be necessary. But first, come to Jesus. Jehovah Jireh. First. That's what we should tell folks. Come to Jesus and learn about divine wealth, and then go apply it. And applying it includes getting a job, starting a business, and so forth. But you don't go start from there. You come receive his wisdom, his teaching about divine wealth, and then you go apply it. And when it comes to health, we've told folks, go to your doctor for divine health. No, we should tell them, come to Jesus and learn about divine health and then go apply it. Part of applying it would be include going to see your doctor. That's just a part of applying it. The main part of it is finding out what this book has to say about divine health. Himself took. Not an angel, not Gabriel, not Michael. Himself took it. What did he take? Took your sicknesses, your diseases. Why did he take it? That you might be healed. Now you're armed to go to the doctor. Up to that point, you don't have what it takes. Because the doctor tells you as it is, you're going to crumble. And fear is going to come to your heart. And you're going to start making your funeral plans. But if you start with Matthew 8:17, himself took my sicknesses, diseases. Go to the doctor. Doctor says you're going to die in 6 months. You say, thank you, doctor. And then you come back home and start planning your vacation. Hallelujah. Because himself took. Himself took. Thank you, doctor, but himself took. I'm not dying in the next 6 months. In fact, I'm going to live until I decide it's time for me to go. How can you say that? Because the book said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. I'm not satisfied yet. Hallelujah. That's what we are. So now you're ready to go to the doctor. See, your thinking is right. You're thinking along these lines. You can take anything the doctor has to say. You're not going to crumble. You're not going to come back stuck. Like one movie, I didn't see the movie, but I saw the title, where that I think somebody was given 6 months to live, and they went raving wild, right? Because I got 6 months to go. I got to go ahead, because I'm going to die in 6 months. I'm going to die. Well, guess what? Yeah, you are going to die talking like that. Hallelujah. Because you are agreeing with the devil, and if two shall agree. But you could agree with God. If two shall agree, it works the exact same way. Can agree with God that himself actually did take your infirmities. And if you don't want them, they can't stay. Because himself took them. But if you want them, even though he took them, they have a right to stay. Because you want them. Yeah, but I don't want them. Well, don't quit talking like you do. My arthritis, my bursitis, my pain. No, I don't have any such thing in my closet. I have my healing. I have my deliverance. Hallelujah. Don't talk poverty, talk sickness, talk disease. I'm born again. I'm wealthy and healthy. Thank you very much. Because Jesus, thank God for Jesus. The blood has been shed. The blood has been shed. That's where my faith is. Himself took. He took it. He took it. Unless I want it, I don't have to take it. Hallelujah. Okay, my time's way past. Father, thank you. That you sent Jesus to the cross and he bare the curse of poverty, of disease, of sickness, of spiritual death. We can be born again, yes. We can walk in divine wealth. We can walk in divine health. All part of the same package. Hallelujah. It's not an either or, all of the above. We thank you. We thank you for all of the above. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we think properly that we are entitled to receive everything Jesus died for us to have. Oh yes. Oh yes. And because of that, we expect to have it. And so our faith works to help us receive that which you have generously given. Thank you for it. We engage the devil, fight the good fight of faith, not to receive, not to obtain. Oh no, Jesus already obtained. We fight the good fight of faith to maintain what Jesus has obtained. Hallelujah. We refuse to be cheated out of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We maintain, glory to God, because it's already been obtained. We maintain. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? That's where it all starts. Because without him, we could, like Martin Luther King said, without him, we would be nothing. A lot of us would already be dead. But all with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. With him. So why don't you receive him today as your Lord and Savior? And be free from the curse of spiritual death, from the curse of poverty, and from the curse of sickness and disease. It's all available in Jesus. I don't know any other place where it is available. In fact, it's not available any place else, but in him. So receive him today. How do you do that? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. You're not just saying a bunch of words, you mean what you're saying. And if you do, at the end of the prayer, you would have been born again. So say this, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for taking my place in hell. Because you went, I don't have to go. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lead me to a church that will teach me these things and help me understand how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language. I receive your guidance for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, if you pray that prayer, my friend, you are now born again. But remember now, you got 2/3 to learn about, to get into this Bible, to be taught how to walk in victory in the area of poverty, in the area of sickness and disease. If you do that, he said it, I didn't. You will live the abundant life on this earth. Amen. That's his word. That's his word. Those are his words. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you, Father. Well, if you live anywhere around here, Austin area, come see us. If not, keep watching. Because we'll be back here next time. Exact same place. We love you. Amen.